Today's reading is taken from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, "If you love me, keep my commands. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them."
I've mentioned Facebook before. I think I've also mentioned the various ministers' discussion forums on Facebook. And I've probably told you of the comments and discussion which often takes place. As you might imagine, following the General Assembly, there was much to consider. First and foremost, there are great and good things being said and done in Jesus' name in many places. There are, of course, matters that are controversial, and they received much attention. And there is the sublime and the ridiculous. Somewhere in the midst of that, someone posted on Facebook. Their question was, had anyone noticed that references to God were increasingly gender neutral? In other words, the suggestion was that this year's assembly, that mention of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was somehow less so. Personally, I don't think it was, but it didn't stop all manner of debates, as you might imagine. All of that has been in my thoughts since. First, I understand what was meant. Within the Christian faith that's become orthodox and traditional to refer to God as three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that they are. Yet the original Hebrew meaning and understanding points to God as being gender neutral, whilst Judaism itself also suggests the same. All of that, of course, is not without controversy and different opinions and thinking. But apart from that, the debates that ensued reminded me of different approaches and understandings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that pointed me in the direction of John's Gospel, chapter 14. It's here that the Scriptures speak of different things that matter. You might not have woken up this morning wondering if God's identity was gender neutral or not, I suspect. But when you next wake up, think of what Jesus said, as reported by John. In the words that were read earlier, there are issues of identity, issues of acceptance, issues of purpose, issues of life, and issues of belonging, all of which becomes and can become an expression of faith, and all of which can become an expression of love, one which we can know, and one which others can know because of us. Much of that depends on our understanding of God. Crucially, it depends on relating to him and knowing him in relationship. But when I say him, I mean, first of all, the Father. The Christian faith says that he is the beginning. If you want to look back in time, consider the origins of everything, trace your own roots even, then you need to look in the Father's direction. He is the originator. All things have come from him. It's he who has set things in motion. It's he who is the source of life. And it's he who wants to relate to the life that has been created. Into that has come a separation, and that has affected our perception of the Father. That, to our mind, makes him difficult to approach. A well-known hymn says, "There's no guilt or fear as I draw near." And yet so often, that's precisely how it can feel from our side. Then there is Jesus. He is co-equal with the Father, but ultimately exalted himself. But more than that, they are one and the same. And so God steps into creation in the form of the Son in order to redeem. Now there's a new relationship to be had with God. There's a new life to be lived. Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, all of it has begun a process of reuniting. And so believe in Jesus, and the Father is revealed through him. Despite that, a nagging doubt can sometimes trouble. How can I ever live up to what Jesus has done for me? What if I sin? How can he forgive me, even if it's again and again? All of that sums up the outlook and experience of many who believe. Good people that they are, faithful as they are, there's still a but, still a doubt. And all of that hinders. At its worst, it can define the church, and at its worst, it can restrict the church from being what it's called to be. That's when there's more good news than the good news of the gospel. That's when the Holy Spirit comes to the fore. He may be listed third and last in the Trinity, yet Jesus said that he would come specifically to be of help. That it would be the Holy Spirit who would remain, who would be active between Jesus going and Jesus coming again. All because the Father has made it so. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit is important. It means that the Holy Spirit is a person. It means that the Holy Spirit is indeed God as much as Jesus and the Father. It means that the Holy Spirit is God's means of working in you, in and through the church, and in the wider world. For it's the Holy Spirit who joins and connects those who believe to the Father and the Son. It's the Holy Spirit who aids our communication with God. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals God's plans and purposes. It's the Holy Spirit who leads and guides as we respond to God. He is a counselor. He is a helper. He is an intercessor. He is an advocate. He is a strengthener. And he is a comforter. In other words, whatever troubles your mind, the Holy Spirit can assist. Whatever seems overwhelming, the Holy Spirit can assist. Whatever the prayer, the Holy Spirit can assist. Whatever defense is required, the Holy Spirit can assist. Whatever strength is needed, the Holy Spirit can assist. And whatever comfort is required, the Holy Spirit again can assist. He is here, and he has been sent for a purpose. Of course, today is Pentecost Sunday, a time when churches across the world will celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. And whilst we do need to celebrate, God is asking us to do more than just that. His Spirit requires to be accepted. His Spirit requires to be recognized. And His Spirit requires to be followed. Why? Because Jesus indicated so. Now we are connected. What was it that Jesus said? You will know that I am in my Father, that you are in me, and that I am in you. All because of the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean? Later on, John wrote that the Holy Spirit had been sent to teach, to testify about Jesus, to enable all who believe to similarly testify of him, and to bring about conviction in the world of the need of redemption. Primarily, it's through people who believe that witness is made. It's through those people gathering together as a body, the church, that witness is made. Yet, if those people are incomplete when it comes to relating to the Father and the Son, their witness too will also be incomplete. It's the Holy Spirit who then makes the difference. And that's why Jesus spoke of love and obedience. For with the Holy Spirit within, with Him by our side, with Him in the church, a new kind of love can be expressed and experienced selflessly to others. A newfound willingness to do what God desires can be done. And so, don't forget Him. Include Him in your praying. Seek His involvement in your lives. Expect Him to act. And most of all, allow Him to do what He has been called to do. It's already happening, even in the Church of Scotland. It's already been made known through Facebook. Now it's time for Him to be known here all the more, beginning today and continuing day by day through you and through me. Let us pray. Lord, today we look to you, to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Enable us to be joined together with you, sharing in your love, sharing in your life, and sharing in all that you seek to do in the world, as we come to know the person and power of the Holy Spirit. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.